This morning, let's turn to the New Testament book of 1 Peter, and we're going to go to chapter 3. If you're not familiar with your Bible, it's towards the end of your Bible, right after a couple books after the book of Hebrews, which is a very large book. 1 Peter chapter 3, and I am going to read verses 8 through 12. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. You have your place? Let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning with these five verses here, starting with verse number 8. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic, love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because of this, you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Let's pray. Father, as we ponder the scripture reading here this morning, we know there's other places in your word where it says similar things. And we do know this, Lord, that scripture interprets scripture. We want to learn about taming the tongue here this morning, Lord. So how do we grow? What is it you need to teach us? What is it, that new truth that we need to learn here today? So, Father, may your scripture, may your word just penetrate our hearts and reveal those things to us so that we can grow and we can become more Christ-like. We give you the praise and glory, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. Today we're going to continue in this short little sermon series that I have titled Taming the Tongue. And I have titled this particular message, Communicating Discouraging Words. So we're going to kind of look at the negative side of this here today. We're talking about this. We're talking about the tongue, things that we speak. And I asked this last week, what can this do and what has this done? What positive things can this do and what negative things can this do? Last week we concluded this, that this from the scriptures, that the mouth will speak what the heart is full of. What is in a person's heart then? Answer, what we truly treasure. Matthew chapter 5 verse 19. So what we truly treasure. So our tongues are going to speak of the words that are the treasures of our hearts. What is in there after all? And we must remember today in our 21st century that the tongue is no longer limited to the spoken word. Today we have all sorts of media, books, magazines, social media such as email, Facebook, Instagram, text messaging, Twitter, instant message, and all these other forms of electronic communication. So taming the tongue, therefore, has to be the fact that we need to control our words in all of these media formats, not just what comes out of our mouths. And we also concluded this last week. We know this, that our tongue can set a direction in our lives and possibly in the direction of other people. So because it does, we need to guard our mouths. So how do we do that? We guard our mouths by seeking and acquiring wisdom, godly wisdom. So, our tongues, how we communicate, will demonstrate the wisdom that we have. Much wisdom, and we communicate in a very encouraging sort of way. Little wisdom, and we communicate in a very discouraging way. And sometimes having great wisdom means staying silent. Sometimes we say nothing. So how much wisdom do others recognize in you, in me? Sometimes our words are neither encouraging nor discouraging. Sometimes they're strictly facts and just informational. Because I could say something like this. The Titanic, the RMS Titanic, sank on April the 15th, 1912 in the Atlantic Ocean. And that's neither discouraging nor encouraging, it's just a fact. Or I could say something like this. I have a son and I have a daughter. Again, just information. But this morning, we're not talking about words that are just informational. This morning, we're going to talk about the negative. Speaking and communicating those words that are discouraging and even sinful. I had a conversation with someone after last Sunday service, and this person asked about, well, what about the thoughts that we may have about negative things or discouraging things that we may have up here? And that's a good question. And I'm going to answer that for all of us here this morning. I think quite often a lot of us might have negative thoughts here. We just can't let it get to here. That's where we need, what needs to stop, right where it's at, right up here. We don't want those negative thoughts to come out here, and or if we're on the computer, we don't want them to come out here when we hit that send button or we hit that post button on Facebook or whatever else, because we do not want to communicate discouraging words. The book of Proverbs is full of wisdom to help guide Christians, everybody, in our words and how we communicate with other people. And when it talks about the negative side of that, it often refers to people who speak words of discouragement as fools. Fools. The word fool is used 186 times in the Bible, and 76 of those times is in the book of Proverbs itself. A fool is someone we do not want to be. So, what is a fool? I have a few definitions on the inside of your bulletin. Plus, there's a whole lot of fill in the blanks of words that we're going to fill in here over the next few minutes. So if you have your bulletin, look at the inside there, and let's look at that definition. What is a fool? A fool is a person lacking in judgment or prudence. A person lacking in judgment or prudence. And today we would say something like this. Only a fool would ride a motorcycle without wearing a helmet. Only a fool would do something like that. Or we might say, you know, only you've got to be a fool if you're going to listen to what that person tells you. And those might be some sentences that we might say to some other people. A fool. A fool is a person who lacks judgment. And then Proverbs 15:2 says this about a fool. It says this, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. Oh, there's an interesting word, folly. What is folly? Definitions in your bulletin. Folly, lack of good sense. Criminally or tragically foolish actions. You can see where a fool and his or her folly kind of go hand in hand because it says criminally or tragically foolish actions. So folly is going to be the actions of a fool. I hope none of us in here have ever been accused of folly. Or I hope none of us in here have ever been called a fool. I see time and time again on Fox News where a person in a prominent position will say something foolish. Now, just over the last 2 weeks, I have seen 3 times on Fox News where people in prominent positions have been pulled over by police officers for either speeding, something wrong with their vehicle, whatever it may be. They were pulled over. And three times, these people in these prominent positions have responded to the police officer with very foolish speech. And it doesn't fail that in each of those three cases, that a few days later, probably after speaking with their attorney, they speak a retraction of forgiveness. Oh, you know, I really didn't mean to say that. Well, if you didn't mean to say it, why did you say it? Because we speak the treasures that are in our hearts. That's why. Our text in James is telling us, and in 1 Peter, never to allow the frustration that we may have progress from here, which is in our minds, to right here. And that's what happens. It goes from here to here. And there's nothing in between stopping it. And let us not forget, I said this last week, that our words are like toothpaste, out of a toothpaste tube. Once you squeeze the toothpaste, you don't get it back in the toothpaste tube again. Once those words are out, they are out. And we cannot ever take them back. And with today's forms of video and audio recording, like every police officer has this little body cam on their person, you just may be caught on tape saying those words you wish you did not say. And if you do, and when you do, and if that ever happens, then those words can become part of social media. And they get plastered out there on Twitter, on Facebook, on email, and all these other places. And before you know it, the entire world knows what you said, or what I said. I'm sure we're all aware of the negative words that we can say when we respond immediately without thinking. But I'm sure none of us in here have ever just responded immediately without ever thinking, have we? Of course we haven't. We've never done that. But let's talk about that anyways. Someone says something, they catch you off guard, and we instantly respond in a very negative and discouraging way. We have all done it, okay? We've all done it, and we've probably all gotten in trouble because of it at some point in time. But let's put that aside for a second. Let's talk about our words and our tweets and our posts and all that other stuff that we do, text messages, all these ways that we communicate, that we have an ample amount of time to respond to. And we, in that ample amount of time, we have time to ask for wisdom from God on how we should respond. Because we don't want to say immediately what's in our hearts, because we know that might not be the right thing to say. I want to give five quick and different biblical scripture examples of the tongue and any ways of communication that are not only negative, not only discouraging, but they are also sinful. Now, in your bulletin, you have a whole bunch of words, and I give you the first letter of each word. And we're going to go through all these rather quickly here this morning. And the first one is going to be from Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. And Exodus chapter 20 is the Ten Commandments. And one of the commandments is this: you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. I wonder how many people know that part of the commandment. We know that we shouldn't misuse the name of the Lord, but it says this: for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Our first fill in the blank. Misuse of the name of the Lord. That's pretty simple. Pastor Ray Pritchard says this about that third commandment. He says this, and I quote, "The third commandment might well be paraphrased, you shall not use the name of the Lord without meaning something by it. Every time you use God's name, you better mean something by it, because God takes your words very seriously, even if you don't." End quote. Matthew Henry gives this commentary about the third commandment. He says this, and I quote, "The sinner may perhaps hold himself guiltless and think there is no harm in it, and that God will never hold him to account for it. But the verse does say, not hold him guiltless, and God himself will be the avenger of those that take his name in vain. And they will find it a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." End quote. Do we take seriously the things we say about God when we use his name? Or do we quite flippantly say, "I see this all the time, and I hear this all the time. Oh my God." We see something. Oh my God. Do we think before we say that? We need to think and have wisdom before we speak the name of the Lord. Let's move on to our next fill in the blank. From Ephesians chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, we got the next three fill in the blanks. I'll read the verses for you, and I think it would be rather obvious what they are. "But among you there must not even be a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity, or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God." So in those three verses, actually pretty much in verse number 4, Ephesians 5:4, there are three negative expressions of the tongue that we need to fill in these blanks. And Paul is telling us we shouldn't speak this way. O, obscenities, F, T, foolish talk, and C, J, coarse joking. That's exactly what the scripture tells us. And the apostle Paul says that if we're Christians, none of these things should come out of the mouth of a Christ follower. So what are obscenities? I think we all know what obscenities are. Today we would say, oh, he said a bad word, or she said a bad word, or foul language, and we all know what words fall into those categories. And no, I'm not giving you a list of those this morning, because I think you all know what they are. Those are bad words, and we don't say those things. Foolish talk. Foolish talk. Foolish talk is going to be words of folly, words without good sense or good judgment. Coarse joking. When we attempt to make a joke that has an ungodly flavor to it. Yeah, sure, it might bring a laugh, but is it really the proper thing to say? Paul tells us to replace these three things with words, instead of these words, with words of thanksgiving instead. Words that are not sinful, but words that are edifying. So there's the first three: obscenities, foolish talk, coarse joking. And now we move to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6. And it says this: "Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them." EW, empty words. Empty words. I'm going to classify, I want to give that its own classification, empty words, because I think I know where the Apostle Paul's going with this. What about those words? What about those people who are deceiving other people with empty words of a false gospel? Who are deceiving with empty words of false doctrine, such as the Oprah Winfreys of the world and other people like them out there? Paul is adamant when he says this: do not be partners with them. Do not be partners with them. And yet tens of thousands of people will watch her show and send money to these prosperity preachers who are preaching false gospels. And could we take that, and should we take it as far as saying, you know, if Oprah is proliferating a false gospel, if people like Oprah are saying that all paths lead to God, should we even be sitting behind the television watching her at all? maybe if we quit watching these people, maybe they'd go off the air. Just a thought. So, EW, empty words, things that we shouldn't say. Do not proliferate a false gospel. Our next one comes from Matthew 5:19. We have two fill-in-the-blanks there. Matthew 5:19 and 20. It says this, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander." These are what defile a person. There's two things there, FT, false testimony, and then the S word there will be slander. False testimony and slander. We all know what false testimony is. False testimony is telling lies, fabricating words that do not represent the truth. And usually, why do people lie? You ever wonder, why do people give false testimony? Why do people tell lies? I'll give you two reasons. People usually tell lies to either make themselves look better than the next guy. So if I tell a lie about someone else, that certainly makes me look better than them. Or sometimes we tell lies to protect ourselves, to keep us out of trouble. Those are reasons why we could give false testimony. There's going to be other reasons, of course, but those are probably the first two. What about this other word? I think we all understand lying. What about slander? Slander. The definition of slander is this from Webster's Dictionary. The utterance of false charges or misrepresentations which defame and damage another's reputation. The utterance of false charges. Do we really want to tell lies to purposely damage another person's life and their reputation? Jesus says that false testimony and slander are things that defile us, not the other person. Jesus wants us to take care of us. He'll take care of the other people. And one final instruction, and we'll end with this one. This is from Proverbs 20:19, and it begins with the letter G, and I bet you all have already have that fill in the blank filled out. Proverbs 11:13a says this, "A gossip betrays a confidence." And Proverbs 16:28b says this, "And a gossip separates close friends." So what is a gossip or a gossiper? Webster defines it as this: a person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others. A person who habitually reveals personal or sensational facts about others. Sounds like the difference between slander and gossip is that slander is spreading lies about somebody else, and gossip is about spreading truth about somebody else. Well, if I'm speaking truth about somebody else, gossip, then why is that sinful? Well, the Hebrew Old Testament word, gossip, is translated as this: one who reveals secrets, one who goes about as a talebearer, T-A-L-E, talebearer, or scandalmonger. In other words, a gossiper is a person who has privileged information about people and proceeds to reveal that information to those who have no business knowing it. Oh, isn't that a great definition? Let me say that one again. A gossiper is a person who has privileged information about people and proceeds to reveal that information to those who have no business knowing it. Gossip is distinguished from sharing information in two ways. We can share information, we can share the truth, and that's good, but what makes me sharing information about another person something that's truthful, and what turns it into gossip? Two things. Number one, intent. What is the intent? Gossipers always have the goal of building themselves up by making others look bad and exalting themselves as if they are the repositories of this great knowledge. So I'm going to make other people look bad because I'm going to tell you something about them that you need to know because it's going to make me look like I know it all. And I want you to think that. Gossipers believe that they win some sort of prize because they are the first to know and spread facts about someone else that this other person doesn't know. Boy, I can't wait to get on the phone and call Mike Campbell and tell him about so-and-so-and-so because he doesn't know about it and he's going to hear it from me first. Intent, that's the first thing that separates gossiper from regular knowledge. The second one is this, the type of information that is shared. A gossiper will speak of the faults and failings of others or reveal potentially embarrassing or shameful details regarding the lives of others without their knowledge or approval or completely knowing and understanding the facts. So, I got to use somebody as an example. So I'll use me. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot. Somebody says, I saw Pastor Mike at the mall the other night. Okay? Somebody tells you that. Or maybe you tell somebody else that. Pretty much nothing wrong with that statement, is there? You saw Pastor Mike at the mall the other night. Just information. I saw him. And that would be good. But somebody else might want to add the second part to that. I saw Pastor Mike at the mall the other night, and he was walking with some really beautiful lady that was not Gail. Juicy. A gossip can't wait to spread news like that. Why? Because it fits their agenda. And their agenda is gossip. And gossip is the treasure that's in their hearts. And what's in their hearts is always going to come out somewhere. However true that fact may be, that I was walking in the mall with some beautiful lady that was not my wife, that's all they know. And what they know, and the fire and the poison that they spread could ruin my reputation. It could terminate my ministry and really ruin a lot of people's lives. Why didn't they just ask me who the young lady was? I'd be more than happy to tell them. Because trust me, Pastor Mike is not going to be walking through the mall with another beautiful young lady unless there's a good reason for him to be walking through the mall with a beautiful young lady. Gossip. We've all done it. We've all done it. And we all need to quit doing it. If you don't have all the facts, just say nothing. Do not put yourself in a position to be a fool. Gossip has torn apart marriages, has torn apart relationships, businesses, homes, and yes, churches. And that is why it is sinful. Does any one of us in here want to be the one responsible for tearing apart one of the institutions that God has ordained? That you torn apart a family? That you tore apart a marriage? That you tore apart a church because you or me or someone gossiped about something that we didn't have all the facts about? Folks, it comes down and dirty, and I'm just going to say it. Sometimes we just need to keep our mouths shut. Sometimes having wisdom means not saying anything at all. So there you have it. Some of the negative things. Misusing the Lord's name, obscenities, foolish talk, coarse joking, empty words, false testimony, slander, and gossip. And there's probably some more. But all those, they're discouraging words that us Christians, we need to avoid. And on the contrary, it says that we need to guard our mouths by seeking godly wisdom, seeking and acquiring and using godly wisdom. And then when we have those thoughts up here, we can consult that godly wisdom before anything comes out here or here. Because, as James says, it can be deadly and full of poison. And we don't want to be responsible for that. Let's go to God in prayer.